Tom Woods Show, episode 2122.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, the Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you enjoy the Tom Woods Show, it's time to go to the next level. And next level, Tom Woods, is libertyclassroom.com. This is where my friends and I teach all the stuff you did not get in your conventional education, history, economics, and more, the way it ought to be taught, with all the content they left out or distorted. Check it out at libertyclassroom.com.
Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. Eric, July week continues today. And today we're going to talk about Eric's efforts in a particular area. Let's just say we're going to have him discuss it with us. But what I want to say, in fact, I'll ask him about it, is that at one point, Eric said that libertarians are culturally inept. And I think he's right about that. We're absolutely getting killed in the culture. And so we're going to be talking about a particular effort that Eric is making in a particular area. So Eric, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
All right, we're carrying on with Eric July Week. Now, obviously, Eric July Week would not be complete without talking about the comic world. But even though, I'll just be honest, it's not a world that I have a lot of interest in. And some listeners might say, oh, I don't have interest in this. And never mind. But there are huge issues involved in this, well beyond the genre and the content itself. I mean, the woke stuff is involved. The importance of culture and libertarians getting off their rear ends and not just sitting around complaining that the culture is against them. Complaining the culture is against you never changes anything.
Right.
You actually have to get off your rear end and do something. You said once that libertarians are culturally inept.
Yes.
So you want to elaborate on that?
Absolutely. A lot of libertarians, unfortunately, think that, okay, ideas and having the best, brightest ideas is good enough to influence, like you look at us being in America, to try to influence like the entire country. So it's like lead with the ideas and the ideas alone. And that's good enough because, you know, everybody's just smart enough to grasp these ideas. And it's like, that gives people way too much credit, number one, but it's just naive. So why I call them culturally inept is because they're so unaware quite often of why we don't have as much influence as we generally should, despite maybe having the better ideas on our side. So they don't know how to navigate certainly at all. I think that's partially, and I'm not oblivious to this, why I stuck out like a sore thumb because I happened to be a libertarian, but I was doing all of these cool different things. But to your point, there's other cultural aspects that we need to get involved in that we have zero imprint on. And that's what I am attempting to do with my time and things that I'm interested in. And yeah, it may be a lot, but I certainly want to do it because I don't want to go out saying I never did at least give it a shot. But certainly we need more people in these trenches. You're not going to influence even in a political space unless you influence a culture and be able to, again, have some imprint there.
Well, let's just say a quick thing about Backwards. I mean, your Veracity album is not exactly subtle.
Not at all.
When it comes to the themes that you're talking about there.
Not at all. not at all. We wanted to come out swinging. I think music is one of those avenues where it's most appropriate to be that way, right? Like you expect that. I mean, the difference is that a lot of the bands and people who act like they're freedom fighters often are just authoritarian leftists, and that's it. Whereas to we were actually about it, you know, and you had a front man that actually believed in these principles and the words of the album actually reflected that. So that's certainly the medium that that kind of bluntness is most appropriate. And I think it's also why it was stuck so much for a lot of people, because we were like a breath of fresh air.
All right. So let's talk about the world of comics. And we're eventually going to get to what your project is. But for somebody like me who doesn't really know anything about it, other than occasionally I see a movie that's based on one of these, all I know is there's DC and Marvel, and some people like one and some like the other. I don't know what the difference is. And then I also know that there's been some controversy lately about making some of these storylines woke and stuff like that. Can you give us a deep dive into that?
Absolutely. Well, I grew up, I didn't really choose between either. I was always just a Marvel or DC guy, though a lot of my favorite characters, the favorite characters that I had, really two, one growing up and one now, were DC characters. However, I didn't have any allegiances or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, in the last, let's say, decade, a little under a decade, you had so many people that had infiltrated this comic book industry that were starting to kind of be very on the nose with what it was that they were trying to do and making needless changes to certain characters that were reflective of their own individual social preferences, though it may have nothing to do with the character that they were writing for. And so you got these efforts, I would say, going in like 2014, you had this era called like All New, All Different Marvel, where that gets you a lot of what you're about to see going into this next phase of Marvel Studios of just randomness of, you know, you got Lady Thor and America Chavez, Ironheart, Miss Marvel, even Captain Marvel being Carol Danvers. Like, these were all elements that had been really recently introduced in the last decade. And I think for a lot of people, because it wasn't subtle at all, it just got so unbearable for folks of where it was really something that was talked about in the industry. And like we often see a lot of those leftists do, they certainly doubled down on this emphasis. And it just turned a lot of people off to what the mainstream comic book industry is doing right now. And I know, though they have smash hits with their comic book movies, they don't have the same thing going on in the books, like in terms of the print industry. In fact, even in the West, they're getting destroyed by the Japanese in with mangas right now. I guess this couldn't be a better time for someone, if they wanted to be a competitor in this market, to jump in. I think the movies have tricked a lot of people into believing this industry is doing a lot better than what it actually is, more specifically with Marvel and DC. But even hell, in the movie sense, you're seeing Marvel has laid a few duds as well. So this industry is up for grabs.
So, all right, let's actually jump ahead into what it is you want to do. Mm-hmm. All I know is that you are getting involved in this industry in some way, but I don't know anything beyond that. So tell us.
So I am starting my own comic book company. And this is something that I have been planning for the last about 2 years. I made a decision that I was going to do it. Being completely transparent about this is something that I wanted to do because I had an interest in doing it. But unlike, I guess, with the music stuff, I didn't really think that this was going to be feasible or realistic for me to ever do until I was like older and obviously having a bigger pool of cash. Well, that certainly accelerated with the success that we've seen in the last years. And I thought as it got worse and worse and worse, I was like, you know what? I am going to attempt to do something about it. It's simple and plain. And because I have the financial capacity to do it, I figured I'd do it. And I'm starting my own comic book company where we emphasize some of the things. Yeah, some of it has to do with the fact that the current industry is so bad that there needs to be an alternative. And that's speaking to like the narratives. You just spoke to a lot of this woke stuff. But a lot of it has to do with overall, even concepts that aren't necessarily quote unquote woke that the industry has lost sight of. I talk about this with many friends in this industry. When I've appeared on their shows, it was a cool thing when I was younger that, you know, you could read a book and you can get a book from Marvel and you get one character's book. It was like Spider-Man or whatever. And the cool thing was that maybe there was an event that they had just had that impacted that character while also seeing another character appear in that. And so, you know, even before my time, definitely in the 80s, they do this a lot. Like, hey, it's snowing in summer in New York City. If you want to find out why, you need to read this book, is what would be in that New Mutants book that you read or something. I thought that was always the coolest thing, the continuity of it all and the canon of it all, that there were things that happened that, you know, it didn't mean that every character knew each other, but you knew they all existed in this shared universe. Well, that is something that's very important to me. That's what really got me into comics. The fact that there were all these characters that existed and they had their own individual stories. I thought that was the coolest concept. This is something that we are going to be prioritizing also with our comic books. So we're not going to be all these multiverses or different versions of the same character. We're not going to be doing any of that stuff. It forces us to be creative, but also I think it's something that this industry certainly is missing. And what was so unique about the American comic book industry that is being lost sight of because you're having people write these characters that generally just don't care about these characters.
But here's the thing. They have the characters. You know, they have Batman. They have these characters everybody has grown up with and knows. If you're starting a brand new comic book company, that also means you have to start up brand new characters that people don't know. Isn't that hard?
It is. It's not an easy thing for sure to do that. I mean, I started it just to let people in on the process. Like, I started by building the universe in itself. I had an idea of what I wanted to have that kind of the first story be. And then I tried to branch from there. And I'm having this universe Bible where we're not writing this first story yet. We're just spelling out what the rules are here. How does this world look like? All of that. And it's not an easy thing to come up with a creative concept that you think is going to stick. And oftentimes, you know, hell, I've learned this with music. And I think that being in that industry also helps a lot with what we're doing, is that you never know. You may think you have, you may be done knocking it out the park. And there may be this side character that you kind of just introduced. And that's the one that the audience said that they were more intrigued by, right? So it's not an easy thing at all to start from scratch. It does take a little bit of creativity. I like to think I have a creative bone, certainly in my body, to make something like that happen. But that's a challenge that's also worth pursuing for me, because believe it or not, a lot of what this has been is therapeutic for me, even in writing some of this stuff and getting those creative juices flowing.
Are there going to be, quote unquote, libertarian themes in it? Is it going to be a libertarian comic, or are you just trying to make it a good one?
I'm just trying to make it a good one, to be completely honest. That's
the right approach.
Yeah, like I'm not trying to make libertarian the comic. Like it's more of, yeah, if you know me, there would be these elements of an overall, hell, I could say that for Batman. You know, I could have I've seen that with stories with Batman where, you know, it's very libertarian in theme, but yeah, people that know me will know, all right, this was where his influence was. This is the kind of an Easter egg. But, you know, I'm just trying to make good material first and foremost. And, you know, if people pick up on that, they pick up on that. I'm not just trying to kind of beat my audience over the head with that material. And I think there's a lot of people that actually think that I'm going that route. And it's not like if I'm going to compete with the likes of the range that some people may think I am, think that I could ever compete with the Marvel or DCs of the world, that I have to just give people good work. And they'll fall in where they fall in. They'll pick up on the themes, but they'll get in where they get in. I'm focused on making good comic book material.
I ask that because obviously you have an existing libertarian audience, and I'm thinking ahead to you marketing your creation to people. Well, you've got this audience, but not all of them necessarily interested in comics. But on the other hand, you have videos and stuff where you talk about comic-related issues, right. So I know you have an audience there.
Right.
Do you feel like you have enough of a built-in audience that you can at least get the initial push of sales? Then you move out to maybe a colder audience that hasn't warmed up to you yet. You go, I mean, is it a matter of trying to get the low-hanging fruit first? And how much low-hanging fruit have you got, do you think?
I do think that we have a built-in audience already. I do believe that. All the work that we've done has paid off certainly over the years. And we know we have this massive following that we have, be it on my YouTube channel, which, you know, it's kind of this mesh of people that come to my material for libertarian, pure libertarian content. But also, I think my initial boost, there were two initial boosts that I had. COVID was a huge boost for my channel and talking about that, but also the comic book stuff. You know what I mean? So a lot of the built-in audience knows, certainly most of them, the vast majority knows exactly where it is that I'm at. But a lot of them are intrigued by this concept that there is a person that doesn't hate that is entering in
right
into this comic book industry, so they don't have to feel dirty when they give them money. There's been a lot of people that are in the comic book space. They don't talk as much libertarian stuff as I talk, but you know, we certainly have alliances here and there, and they've seen some success in crowdfunding comics, made a lot of money, and they don't even have like a quarter of the following it is that I have. So I think we're going to surprise a lot of people with how much money that we're going to make. But yeah, the vast majority of them, the vast, vast majority of them are going to be like people that it's a baked in audience. The people that follow me for various reasons, that some of which may never have read a comic in their life, and they just want to support what it is that I'm doing. And a lot of them are going to be lifelong comic guys that are just looking for something aside from what dog crap the main big two have been giving them over the last years.
So are you going to be releasing a single book, or will you already have like a little bit of a series out of the gate?
At first, when we announced like, the company has officially launched, it will be alongside a book of a character. Though in that book, numerous characters are going to be introduced. And once you read it, it'll make sense. And that'll be a kind of a branch off point there, though it is a character's book. However, I am not in the interest of releasing books, at least certainly not now, smaller books. So standard, comic book standard now, you're going to get like 20-page books, give or take. this first book that I'm releasing is basically 100 pages, right? So you can imagine, like, for a Marvel and DC character, that's like 4, 5, 6 weeks worth of books that I am giving people in one, or like a character's book, like a series or whatever. So it is part of a series. It'll be that one book and the campaign released alongside it. So additional merchandise items and stuff that you can get. But yeah, it's one character's book, and we're soon to be following like another one after that. Really, I love to get to a point. We're not going to be there initially. A lot is going to be told by this first book. But at some point, we're going to be in a position to, I like to be in a position where we release like a book a month that's of that stature. But that's something to work towards. So like kind of mid to long-term goal.
Hey, everybody, let's take a minute for me to give you some very, very valuable advice. This is advice that is going to score you a lot of points with your spouse or a significant other. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. That person you love is going to be so impressed by your creativity and thoughtfulness. And you don't even have to say, I got the idea from Woods. I'm just giving this to you. You can run with it. You can act like it was your idea. That's fine. Whatever promotes happiness and happy relationships in the world is fine with me. And of course, what I'm talking about is the wonderful Happily Date Box, which I've been receiving for nearly 3 years now. Every month you get an amazing box filled with interesting, fun activities that you can do with your significant other. It's a way to have a date night in. You'll get a music playlist, maybe a little project to work on, games to play, questions that provoke deep and meaningful conversations, intimate moments that bring the two of you together. They're just wonderful. You're just going to love them. And when you say, hey, I subscribed us to this Happily Date Box service, you're just going to be looked at with a loving gaze. You're going to have that loving gaze into your eyes, like, ah, I knew I was right choosing you. Okay? You want to get that gaze? You can get that at tomwoods.com/date. Not to mention, if you go to tomwoods.com/date, you get 50% off your first date. So what possible reason would you have? What, do you not like having a loving gaze in your eyes? Come on. So head over to tomwoods.com/date, get 50% off your first date, enjoy time together, and you are welcome.
So you've found illustrators who kind of share your vision for this?
Believe it or not, of the people that, yeah, this woke industry is the woke industry. And you have a lot of people who are there to spread their nonsense ideologically in terms of this kind of social justice bullcrap. But those tend to be the writers. I have industry vets, two industry vets that are part of my illustration and color work team. One of which, you know, it's more of like the kind of apolitical person. And one is certainly political, but he's a veteran of the industry that's done a lot of stuff with Marvel and DC, certainly in the past. But there's a lot of people illustrated that know the industry for what it is, like, and they want out. But there's not a lot of people that are giving them in the independent space something to eat off of and something to live off of. So they tend to pick up work for the Marvels and DCs of the world. So that's been the coolest thing, I guess, that's been part of it, is to be able to link up with these talented individuals that do kind of share where I'm at ideologically, and have them help out with the project in some way, shape, or form. And there's a lot of talented people out there that share a lot of what we think. And those always, for my company, will always get deals for like various commissions and jobs.
What's the date for when we can expect this to come out?
Very soon. I can't say exactly when, but when I say very soon, I'm saying like it is right around the corner. I just announced that I finally closing this warehouse that we'll be working out of, doing our fulfillment and storage. It's right around the corner. The book's done. The book's been done. Right now it's getting print, and as well as the other merchandise items. The big thing is, as you mentioned, the website. It'll be the same team that's helping out with the website for the comic book company. And we're doing something unique to where I don't have to depend on like other external kind of resources to sell the book. We're going to build a unique store tailor-made for us. It's going to be one of a kind. And all that's being built right now. Once that's done, we're ready to launch.
This is the stuff that I love. Are you going to be doing anything to drum up buzz about it, like with pre-orders? Or if you order by such and such, we'll give you this or whatever?
Absolutely. That is the coolest part of this, I think, that a lot of people are going to be stoked on, because I am, and that's the campaign process. So just because, you know, you may not be in on it, a lot of independent artists and writers and whatnot that are seeing success, let's say, in the independent circuit, are people that they do crowdfund, right? They use Indiegogo, I think, is the biggest one, though you have those that use Kickstarter, where what they do is it almost acts as a pre-order, but it also for them, they're not able to front the cost for a lot of this. So it makes a lot of sense for them to go that route. Whereas we're fronting the cost. Oh my God, the amount of damn money that I've spent on this has certainly been insane. But we're going to be taking elements of what people got from that. And that's really, okay, here's this number, this level of transparency. How many people have bought this? How much money has this campaign made? We're going to be adopting that concept and the people, it'll make sense once people see it. And yes, there's going to be plenty of limited time items. One in particular, the only place that you can get it is within that, let's say, 60-day window that we'll be housing that campaign, that you'll be able to get this item and then we'll never sell it again. So there's going to be limited. We're going to do a lot of stuff. We shot a lot of cool video stuff. This is also a big positive of having access to a big studio like Blaze. And we've shot a bunch of cool stuff that's really going to drum up hype. Once folks see like what we've been working on, it's going to show people that I'm not playing around. Like, I think some people think that this is going to be, though they shouldn't because they saw what we did with music. But some people think that this is going to be some little rinky dink company. Like, nah, when I say I'm trying to compete with Marvel and DC, I'm not playing around. Like, this is something that I'm not joking about, that I think is something that we can achieve. And once you see like what we're coming out with, the quality of the book, the quality of the art, the cool merchandise items that we have associated with, the promotional items that'll be dropping, people are going to know that we're not funning around.
I just love this. I love hearing this. Now, look, you and I are friends.
Yes.
And so I want to help. When this comes out, I'm going to let my audience know and I'll make a little bit of a mini push for it myself.
Appreciate that, man.
Because I want this to, not like you need me to succeed, but I want to play my part in this.
Appreciate
so
that.
So just let me know when that date comes. Now, I've noticed that at least some of the musicians I listen to have been doing sort of similar things with their new releases because they're in a world where people don't buy physical albums nearly as much as they used to. Everybody
right.
uses streaming services these days. And yet they're trying to sell physical albums because at least there's some profit margin there. So what they've been doing is coming out with the deluxe edition that either has extra songs on it, or since the extra songs will also probably wind up on YouTube or something, they'll just have a beautiful box with a book and all these other little goodies inside it. And the raving fans just gobble that stuff up and that, you know, that brings them in some revenue for a product that's very, very hard to sell. Physical albums these
right.
days, very hard to sell.
Man.
But if you appeal to those sort of people who just go for this kind of thing and you have the right kind of product, you can still sell even that. But I love this stuff about limited time offer.
Yeah.
That we're not going to be producing this thing anymore after this date. So
no.
you're going to have to go ahead and grab it. I'm so glad that when I asked you that question, you came up with an answer like this.
Because yeah.
this sounds like it's going to be just awesome.
I can't wait. It's been therapeutic, this whole process. I've been working my tail off. Like I said, spending a lot of money. I just can't wait for people to see the product in itself. Like, trust me, guys, we're not playing. We're not playing.
Well, I was going to ask, but I now officially withdraw the question. I want you to keep the suspense. I was going to ask if you could give us any clues or sneak peeks, but let's not do that. Let's not, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep us completely in the dark. Oh, let me just ask you though, you were saying about DC and Marvel because of their movie success, you know, even with the occasional stinker, giving a misleading picture about the profitability of the industry as a whole.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you as somebody who, well, loves the idea of the industry, let's say, loves what, you know, in principle, what it could be. When these movies come out, do you go out to see them? And if you do, what would you say, you know, in recent years have been the best and the worst of them?
Now, honestly, the last movie that I saw was Black Widow. So what was that, 2 years ago, I think it was? I have not seen a Marvel or DC-related movie at all. And I haven't bought a comic from them, which is weird coming from me because I built a big platform talking about a lot of this stuff. And yeah, I don't do that anymore. So, yeah, I haven't seen anything since then. I don't even encourage people to go watch that stuff anymore just because I think that, like, you know, definitely with Marvel, you know, them being tied to Disney, I think is, you know what's going on with that whole situation. And I think they drew their line in the sand. And I'm like, yeah, I'm done here. They clearly don't want me as a customer. So I'm certainly not going to give them my money. So me personally, no, not anymore. Though I did for a while there, I'd always do my long form reviews. I think it was to me, like, for example, that was a big fun thing for me to do back when I used to do it all the time. And that was, you know, I watched, let's say, Zack Snyder's, they re-released basically Justice League, right? And they had this like Zack Snyder version of it, this uber long version. And I did like a 2 hour long almost a video of me breaking down the history of the Justice League in the comic books and then reviewing at the end of that video what I thought about it. So people would get in on my perspective before I went in on the review. And those were fun to do. Certainly, though, time consuming. I'm not even doing those anymore, though. However, I'm just completely off. So, yeah, it's interesting. Let's just say that. And I don't generally tell people to go watch these movies anymore because it's like, dude, it's garbage in, garbage out at this point.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know one way or the other about that. So yeah. I'm glad you cleared that up. Well, let me just conclude by saying this. What you're doing is important and great. But it reminds me that, in a way, this is what I really like about our wing, let's say, of the libertarian world, is that, frankly, we are doers.
Yes.
There is another wing. It's a small wing. It's a wing of a bird that's been shot, you know, by a BB gun 10 times.
Yeah.
There's another wing whose accomplishments consist entirely of nasty tweets. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. And that's all. That's nothing. What have you accomplished? Nothing.
Yes.
Whereas you... Our friend Connor Boyack created the Tuttle Twins children book series because there weren't any children's books that talked about ideas that we think are important and that we do want to teach our kids. So he created one. Or Dave Smith had a number one comedy album.
That's huge.
And now you're creating a comic book company.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I know I'm right when I'm in that part of the movement that is full of creators.
Yes.
And you're one of those guys, man. And best of luck to you. I can't wait to find out about the release and, you know, again, be a little part of at least letting my audience know about it.
Thank you.
Boy, do we need more of this.
Thank you so much for that. And you hit it right on the head with this, is that that's just so important. The people that are on our side are not these weirdos who sit up here and try to drum up. Basically, they spend more time trying to bring us down, the actual creators down, than they do, for one, advocating liberty or doing anything about, you know, I don't know, getting us closer to libertarianism in our lifetime. And yeah, our side has the creatives. We have the people that are actually out there trying to do something and engaging, certainly culturally. You mentioned Dave Smith. You mentioned Phil earlier. All of these people, like, this is what it's about. It's about doing as opposed to just talking and tweeting all damn day long. We understand that this is certainly the way. If we are going to see liberty in our lifetimes, this certainly is the route that we have to go.
Excellent. Well, best of luck. People should go to ericdjuly.com. They'll be able to find out everything you're up to at all times. That's the central hub for all your stuff.
Yep.
Okay, we'll send them there. Thanks, Eric.
Appreciate that.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it. Now, tomorrow on Eric July Week, I'm going to ask Eric, is there really such a thing as the Black community? That's a term that's used a lot, right? So-and-so is a spokesman for the Black community. Nobody knows who appointed that person spokesman for the Black community, but is there really such a thing? Like, is there an LGBT, quote, community? Is there, for example, from my point of view, is there an Armenian community? Do all these people in these different groups, how much do they really have in common such that they could be designated as a community? And are there problems that come from referring to one of these groups as a community? Does it lead us to think that every single member of that quote-unquote community thinks the same way or has the same interests? So we're going to hash that one out tomorrow. So I'll see you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.